My name is Garland Robinson. In Revelation 21:5 we read, "He that sitteth on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new." People are obsessed with newness. We seek to buy a new car, new home, new clothes. In the field of science, the new discoveries hog the headlines. But desire for newness is not new. For example, when Paul came to Athens 1900 years ago, we read in Acts 17 and verse 21 that all the Athenians and the strangers did nothing but spend their time in hearing or telling some new thing. When God raised up Jesus to sit on David's throne at his own right hand, we learned there was a new era that had begun. And in that new era, there was a new authority that brought about the newness that the world had not seen before. It was the Church of Christ, the Kingdom of Christ. And in that he said, "I will make all things new." We find that Jesus, the beginner of this new era, is the mediator of the New Testament. God gave a law to Israel through Moses at Mount Sinai back in Exodus chapter 20. That law was not designed for, it wasn't given to the Gentiles. It was given for Israel and Israel only, according to Deuteronomy chapter 5. One purpose of that law was revealed in Galatians 3 in verse 19 when we read that it was added because of transgressions till the seed should come. Well, you back up three verses in verse 16 of Galatians 3 and you learn that the seed is Jesus Christ. So the old law given to the Israelites was only given till Christ should come. And when Christ came, there was a new law given. We read in Galatians chapter 3 then in verse 24 and 25. The law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster, but under a new law. Well, the schoolmaster was the Old Testament. It was to carry along the Israelites until Christ should come. We are told in Hebrews 7 and verse 12 that there is made a change of the law because of the weakness of that very law. And for that reason, the writer uses the prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 31 to show that the old covenant was to be replaced with a new covenant. And that same passage is quoted in Hebrews chapter 8 in verses 6 through 12. In the next verse, that is verse 13, we read, "In that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away." Well, that old law, which was a schoolmaster, vanished away, and Colossians 2:14 says that it was nailed to the cross when Jesus died. Christ lived under the Old Testament, and he died in order that he might remove it and take it out of the way so that his people would no longer be living under it. We read in Galatians 3:13, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree." The inspired writer here talks about the death of Christ, and then he states, "For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament," Hebrews 9 and verse 15. "He taketh away the first, that he might establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all," Hebrews chapter 10. And verse 9 and 10. When Christ made all things new, he didn't leave us under the Old Testament. He gave a New Testament. And that New Testament reveals that Jesus is the King of the New Testament. The prophets of the Old Testament spoke much of the new kingdom that was to come. In Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, in speaking of the Roman Empire, Daniel foretold, "In the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed." It was foretold in Isaiah 2 and verse 2 that it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and all nations shall flow unto it. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. We also read of more information about it given back in Jeremiah chapter 23 in verse 5 and 6. Here we read, I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. The throne in this new kingdom is to be David's throne. The king is to be of the seed of David, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. So then we learn in the New Testament that both Jesus and John the Baptist taught the kingdom is at hand. Mark chapter 1 and verses 2 to 8 and Matthew chapter 3 and verse 2. Jesus, being the Son of God, knew the kingdom even better than the prophets of old. He told the disciples in Mark chapter 9 and verse 1, some of you standing here shall not taste of death till you have seen the kingdom of God come with power. In Matthew 16:18, he promised, I will build my church. In verse 19, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom. Here the word church and the word kingdom are used interchangeably. The kingdom of the Old Testament is the church of the New Testament. It's different words describing the same institution. That is, that which was the eternal purpose of God, Ephesians 3 and verse 10 and 11. In Isaiah 2, we learn that all nations shall flow into it. The apostles had been told by our Lord in the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That was a prophecy from the Old Testament. The kingdom would be worldwide and encompass all nations of people. As prophets of old had said, during the days of the Romans in Jerusalem, during the lifetime of the apostles, the kingdom was to come. In Acts chapter 2, we read exactly that is what happened. The apostles later taught that the promised kingdom had become a reality. Paul wrote in Colossians 1:13 that God hath delivered us out of the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Peter showed that Jesus is now the king on David's throne in his sermon in Acts chapter 2, so that he is now King of kings and Lord of lords. John stated that he was in that kingdom in Revelation 1 and verse 9. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15:25, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Christ did not come to reestablish the old kingdom in its political and military power. He said in John 18:36, my kingdom is not of this world. He is now king in his new kingdom, and that is Jesus our Lord. He's also the Savior of this new kingdom. The scriptures speak often of the old man of sin, which is in bondage in Satan. But Christ came to set us free. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, John 8:32. Being set free means becoming a new creature in Christ, Galatians 6:15. That's the reason Jesus told Nicodemus she must be born again, John 3 and verse 3. His physical birth made him a citizen of the kingdom of Israel. But this new birth, being born again, a spiritual birth of water and of the teaching of the Holy Spirit, would make him a person in the kingdom of God, the new creation that he would be as a citizen in the church of Christ. We read, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. This is further taught by the Lord in the Great Commission when he said, go teach all nations. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. This new birth by water and the Spirit was proclaimed by the apostles on the day of Pentecost. Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Acts 2 and verse 38. When one turns his back on the world to come to Christ, the old man is left behind. Notice how Paul describes conversion. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Romans 6 and verse 3 and 4. When one is born of water and the Spirit, he has become new, raised from waters of baptism to walk in newness of life, because he's now been baptized into Christ. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. For one who is born again, there's a new direction in their life. No longer does this individual seek just to do his own pleasure, but now seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Jesus taught in Matthew 6:33. One who has lied and cheated and stolen will now live differently. In Colossians 2:12 we read, buried with him by baptism, wherein also you are risen with him. And Colossians 3:1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. And then in Colossians 3, verse 9 and 10, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. The Lord gives us a new commandment, that is, to be a new creature. In John 13:34, he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Love for God and love for those who belong to God, that becomes the new rule of our life. For now we are a new man in Christ. So friends, the Lord has made all things new. We live under the New Testament. We serve the Lord our Christ our King in the new kingdom. And by his mercy we put off the old man of sin by being born again. When we're thus baptized into Christ, born of water and the Spirit, we become new creatures in Christ. He has made all things new. Oh, what blessings are ours because he has. Won't you resolve to live according to the Lord's commands? Be a new creature. Live that new life in the new kingdom according to the New Testament. If you're willing and ready to begin today, then give us a call. Contact us. We'll be glad to study with you, help you to learn what the will of the Lord is. If you truly believe, won't you turn from your sin in repentance, confess the Lord that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and be immersed in the water for the forgiveness of your sins. Thank you for listening today. My name is Garland Robinson.